Napoleon in Exile, 1815 to 1821. Napoleon arrives on the Bellerophon. If any English ship of the line, other than the HMS Bellerophon, had directed the blockade of Rochefort, Napoleon might not have vetoed the plans to escape by sea. His knowledge of the ship made him wary of testing French frigates against her. Now, the Bellerophon was launched in 1786, which meant she was almost 30 years old, which is quite old for a ship of the line. She had joined the fleet, obviously, during the French Revolution. In 1798, the Bellerophon distinguished herself at the Battle of the Nile. The Bellerophon had 74 guns versus the French flagship L'Orient, which had 120. She lost her mizzen mast and her main mast, had fires in three places, lost 197 of 570 men, and 20% of all the English squadron's casualties. The Bellerophon was the only ship mentioned in Admiral Nelson's dispatches. Nelson personally boarded the ship 3 days after the Battle of the Nile and thanked her captain and her crew. Now, of course, the Battle of the Nile destroys the fleet that Napoleon took to Egypt, basically trapping him and the French army in Egypt. Then, of course, at the Battle of Trafalgar, the HMS Bellerophon arrives again. She actually fired the first shot and engaged five enemy ships, three Spanish ships and two French ships. Now old and slow, Billy Ruffin, or that's the crew's nickname for the ship, was still a ship to be feared, and there is little doubt that Napoleon was reluctant to brave her fire. So in the chill of the hours before dawn on July the 15th, 1815, Napoleon rose and dressed for his departure from France. He put on his white waistcoat and breeches. He put on his military boots. He put his plain gold-hilted sword on. He wore his green coat with scarlet cape, cuffs, and scarlet lapels. He was wearing basically the colonel of the chaussure of the Imperial Guard uniform, which will be the same uniform that he will be buried in 1821. Pinned on the coat were the Grand Cross and Small Cross of the Legion of Honor, the Iron Cross and the Union. Last came his olive-colored greatcoat, and his famous cockade hat with the tricolor cockade. Napoleon was then rowed out to the French brig of war, the Espierre, which would carry Napoleon and his entourage to the HMS Bellerophon. Flying a flag of truce, she headed towards the British ship. Around 5:30 a.m., the ebb tide had ended, and the wind was pushing against the French, slowing their progress. Less than a mile away from the Bellerophon, another English warship was seen on the horizon. It would turn out to be the HMS Superb, which is Admiral Hotham's flagship. Now, Captain Maitland on the Bellerophon was pacing the quarterdeck. He wanted Napoleon on board his ship before Hotham arrived. So the first lieutenant, Andrew Mott, was ordered to take the ship's barge to the Espierre and bring Napoleon back on it. When the barge pulled alongside, Mott explained his mission and was told Napoleon would soon join him. General Becker offered to accompany Napoleon. Napoleon refused, saying, quote, "I don't know what the English intend doing with me, and should they not respond to my confidence, it might be said that you have sold me to England." End of quote, which is an interesting point. You know, if someone were to go with him and suddenly the English would arrest him, put him in irons and put him in the brig, certainly the person involved with being with him, whether they actually conspired to do it, is going to be associated with that and probably never be able to get that removed. With Bertrand, Napoleon boarded the barge at Mott's word and the crew shoved off and headed for the Bellerophon. Looking up, Lieutenant Mott noticed tears in the eyes of most of the French officers and men lining the rail of the brig. At the same time, the sailors crowding its rigging began to wave their hats and cheered Napoleon. As long as the barge remained in earshot, the men on it heard the cheers continue. As the barge came alongside the HMS Bellerophon, silence fell over the decks of the ship. Men strained their eyes to see the beginning of what they sensed would be the most important historical event in which they would ever participate. General Bertrand ascended the gangway first and stepped on board. He bowed to Captain Maitland, who stood on the quarterdeck, and announced, quote, "The Emperor is in the boat," end of quote, and then stepped aside. The boatswain's whistle shrilled out the honor of the side. Before its final notes had sounded, Napoleon had come up the gangway and onto the deck. Buttoned to the chin in his greatcoat, he paused a moment, then walked past a guard of Marines that were drawn up. They stood stiffly at attention as Napoleon strode past them, but they did not present arms. Napoleon advanced to the quarterdeck, took off his hat, and addressing Captain Maitland, said firmly, quote, "I am come to throw myself on the protection of your prince and your laws," end of quote. Napoleon's next stop would be England. Now, the sources for this, 50 Days of Napoleon in England by Duhamel, Napoleon After Waterloo by Thornton, and Napoleon's St. Helena by Gilbert Martineau. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the brand new website, SummaHistorica.com or HistoryAccordingToBob.com. Ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, check out the souvenirs, just see all the interesting things there are to look at, and answer some of your questions. And as always, if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.